The poor and middle class all too often allow the power of money to control them. By simply getting up and working harder, failing to ask themselves if what they do makes sense, they shoot themselves in the foot as they leave for work every morning. By not fully understanding money, the vast majority of people allow the awesome power of money to control them. The power of money is used against them. By the time Mike and I were 16 years old, we began to have problems in school. We were not bad kids. We just began to separate from the crowd. We worked for Mike's dad after school and on the weekends. Mike and I often spent hours after work just sitting at a table with his dad while he held meetings with his bankers, attorneys, accountants, brokers, investors, managers, and employees. We learned more sitting at his meetings than we did in all our years of school, college included. Mike's dad was not school educated, but he was financially educated and successful as a result. He used to tell us over and over again, an intelligent person hires people who are more intelligent than they are. So Mike and I had the benefit of spending hours listening to, and in the process learning from, intelligent people. But because of this, both Mike and I just could not go along with the standard dogma that our teachers preached. Occasionally, Mike or I would ask our teachers how what we studied was applicable, or we asked why we never studied money and how it worked. To the latter question, we often got the answer that money was not important, that if we excelled in our education, the money would follow. The more we knew about the power of money, the more distant we grew from the teachers and our classmates. My highly educated dad never pressured me about my grades. I often wondered why, but we did begin to argue about money. By the time I was 16, I probably had a far better foundation with money than both my mom and dad. I could keep books. I listened to tax accountants, corporate attorneys, bankers, real estate brokers, investors, and so forth. My dad talked to teachers. One day, my dad was telling me why our home was his greatest investment. A not-too-pleasant argument took place when I showed him why I thought a house was not a good investment. The argument illustrated the difference in perception between my rich dad and my poor dad when it came to their homes. Poor dad thought his house was an asset and listed it in the asset box, and the rich dad thought it was a liability and put his home in the liability box. I remember when I drew a diagram for my dad showing him the direction of cash flow. I also showed him the ancillary expenses that went along with owning the home. A bigger home meant bigger expenses, and the cash flow kept going out through the expense column. Today, I am still challenged on the idea of a house not being an asset. And I know that for many people, it's their dream as well as their largest investment. And owning your own home is better than nothing. I simply offer an alternate way of looking at this popular dogma. My wife and I would love a bigger, more flashy house to impress the Joneses, but we know it is not an asset. It's a liability, since it takes money out of our pocket. So here's the argument I put forth. I really do not expect most people to agree with it, because a nice home is an emotional thing. And when it comes to money, high emotions tend to lower financial intelligence. When it comes to houses, I point out that most people work all their lives paying for a home they never own. In other words, most people buy a new house every so many years, each time incurring a new 30-year loan to pay off the previous one. Even though people receive a tax deduction for interest on mortgage payments, they pay for all their other expenses with after-tax dollars, even after they pay off their mortgage. Then there are property taxes. My wife's parents were shocked when the property taxes on their home went to $1,000 a month. This was after they'd retired, so the increase put a strain on their retirement budget, and they felt forced to move. Also, houses do not always go up in value. I still had friends who owe $1 million for a home that will today sell for only $700,000. Finally, the greatest losses of all are those from missed opportunities. If all your money is tied up in your house, you may be forced to work harder because your money continues blowing out of the expense column, instead of adding to the asset column. The classic middle-class cash flow pattern. If a young couple would put more money into their asset column early on, their later years would get easier, especially as they prepared to send their children to college. Their assets would have grown and would be available to help cover expenses. All too often, a house only serves as a vehicle for incurring a home equity loan to pay for mounting expenses.